We're starting a new series that I'm excited about. We usually do this in February, not because February is this sacred month where we talk about couples, but people have this opportunity. They think about love and stuff for Valentine's Day. And so we kind of use that month as much as we can for this opportunity to look at marriages and what it means to strengthen our marriage and look at relationships and what it means to strengthen relationships. And just so you understand, this is not just about marriages. This is a series that's going to be about all the relationships in our lives and how those relationships are so important, but not only why they're important, but what is our response? And this idea is every relationship comes back to us, and that's why we call this series I Promise. Because we are, whether it's a marriage or whether it's a relationship with somebody else or whatever, our lives are built on promises. And one of the things that we've got to know when we do this, our promises reflect us as individuals. Every promise that we make reflects you as an individual. Before we get into this, a couple of ground rules, just so everybody's on the same page and we know what's going on. I'm sure that you're aware of this, but I just want to encourage you, especially when you deal with some of this stuff, you know, we kind of take it as opportunities to jab our significant other in the side, like, hey, pay attention. And we don't want to do that, right? Here's what we're wanting. Listen for yourself. Every time that you kind of make a gesture, every time you try to get your spouse to listen, you're just reinforcing why they don't want to listen, all right? So just leave them alone. Let God speak with them. You listen with your own ears for yourself. The other part of this ground rule is Jesus is the one that makes all things new. And we have to understand that. And so here's the thing. That means there's always hope, no matter how bad a relationship is. There's always hope. And the other side of this is don't give up on yourself or others. Nobody is too far gone. I mean, you might think that from the onset, but nobody is too far gone. This is an opportunity for us to kind of evaluate and take some good steps that we need to take. The idea is we can make promises, but we want to be in touch with the strength behind the promises that we make. We're going to open this up talking about promises, and we're looking at the Book of Song of Solomon. If you've ever read that, then you understand that it's this love story that this couple is having, but it's more than a love story, because what Song of Solomon is it's a description of the kind of relationship that God wants with us. And it talks about the intimacy that God wants to have with all of us, all right? So in this, let me start with reading Song of Solomon chapter 8, and it says this, "Place me like a seal over your heart." In other words, promise me with all of your heart, like a seal on your arm. For love is as strong as death, its jealousy unyielding as the grave. It burns like blazing fire, like a mighty flame. Many waters cannot quench love. Nothing can stop it. Rivers can't wash it away. He says, if one were to give all of the wealth of his house for love, it would be utterly scorned. In other words, what he's saying, it's a poetic way of saying, there is nothing more valuable in my life than this relationship. In other words, he's also saying this, I'm not willing to give up this relationship for all the money in the world. Okay, that is a promise that he's making. I am willing to not give up this relationship for all of the money in the world. When we say I promise, what is it that we're actually saying? Because in our world, promises are empty, to say the least. In our world, people that make promises, they don't always mean what we think they mean. Here's the thing, our promises reflect us as individuals. A promise is just words until it is backed by commitment and integrity. And if you have no commitment and you have no integrity, guess what? Your words are empty and they're meaningless. They mean absolutely nothing. You can promise all you want, and it doesn't have any strength attached to it. Our commitment, our vows, our guarantees are actually what make our promises strong. This word promise, it is a compound Latin word, and what it means is to send forward, okay? A promise is to send forward. So one of the definitions of promise that you might want to write down is this. A promise is a declaration that I make now that is needed for the future. If I'm going to send something forward, then it's this. I'm making a declaration now that I'm going to need at some point in the future. That's what we did when we stood up here. We stood in wherever it was in you. If you're married, you made promises to each other. You are giving a declaration, not just for the moment, but you're saying, you know what? I'm making a promise that somewhere down the road, when this promise is absolutely needed, that this will be absolutely true. So a promise is committing to send a decision forward to a future time when it's needed. And here's why that this is so important, I think. You also can write this down, and that's this. A promise has nothing to do with your emotions or feelings. A promise has nothing to do with your emotions or feelings. We would love for that to be not true. We would love for promises to be about our emotions and feelings. In fact, our culture says that promises are absolutely about our emotions and feelings. In fact, they even function off of a motto that says, if it feels good, do it. So the problem is, if it doesn't feel good anymore, then find somebody else. So the idea of making a promise and having that based on feelings and emotions is not a strong promise. It's an empty promise because feelings change, right? C.S. Lewis, if you're not familiar with him, he wrote a lot of books, and he's a theologian but also an author. And one of the books he wrote was a book called Mere Christianity. And it was talking about promises, not just to people, but also to God. And I love what he says, a couple of promises about that I think we just need to make note of. And that's this. He says, the promise made when I am in love and because I'm in love to be true to the beloved as long as I live commits me to being true even if I cease to be in love. Think about that. He's saying that a promise that is made to somebody when I'm in love, because I'm in love, ties me to that person even when I am no longer in love, because it's not based on emotions or feelings. It's a decision. It's a choice. Something else he writes is this. A promise is about things that I can do. It's about actions, because no one can promise to go on feeling in a certain way. Your promises can't be based on feelings because there are days that you don't feel like being married. There are days that you don't feel like loving the person that you're stuck with, right? Or you feel like that. And so you feel like, hey, you know what? If I'm stuck, I don't have to be stuck. And the problem is this is not, we make promises based on actions, not on how we feel a certain way. For us to say, I promise, it's about your commitment, our guarantee, whether we feel it or not, that a promise in any relationship that we have is important and necessary if we're going to have this healthy relationships that we need. So in this series, we're going to be looking at some of the promises that we need to make to have the relationships that God wants us to have. And if we're going to have healthy relationships, then and we're going to have healthy marriages or whatever they might be, then I think that the very first promise that we need to make that is essential is this one. If I'm going to have healthy relationships, I have to promise to love myself. I have to promise to love myself. The first promise that we have to make is this promise to love ourselves. Now, that might feel weird to some of you. It might seem like an unnecessary promise to some of you. It might even feel like an unspiritual promise because we know that walking with Christ is an unselfish lifestyle. And whenever you hear that, loving yourself, maybe you just think it's a selfish way of looking at things. See, healthy relationships begin with you. Everyone wants healthy relationships, but few people are actually willing to become the kind of person it takes to create them. Healthy people form healthy relationships. In fact, of all the relationships in your life, you are the common denominator in all of those relationships. And if you want relationships to be healthy, then you have to start with this promise to love yourself. You talk to people and they may be going through the first marriage, second marriage, third marriage, something like that, and there's always a problem with somebody. And the problem is that you are the common denominator in all of those relationships. And it's not just in a marriage sense. It's a lot of times we come in and we feel like people are against us and our relationships and lives are not strong, and we find people we just find ourselves isolated and alone, and we blame people. But the problem is all of these relationships reflect us personally. The religious leaders of the day and Jesus' time, they were always trying to trap Jesus. And this time was no different. They were wanting to trap him, so they are asking him a question. It's a question that you're familiar with. But the question was this: what is the most important commandment? And so Jesus replies, and he says, "You must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment," Jesus says. And then he says this: "A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself." Love your neighbor as yourself. I'd like you to fill this in on your notes if you'd like, because it's important to this talk, but it's also, it comes from the scripture that we just read and how important this principle is in our life. And that's this: we treat others the way we treat ourselves. You are going to treat others the way that you treat yourself. You will love others to the degree that you love yourself. And that's why this promise issue is so important. In today's culture, people talk a lot about loving themselves, but they're talking about something completely different than what we're looking at. In fact, I just want to point out a few things of when people talk about loving themselves, what they're kind of focused on and why it's so dangerous, and that's not what we're talking about. But loving myself is not putting myself first. I'm sure that you know people like I do, or you've heard people like I have, and you've heard people say things like, you know, I spent my whole life putting other people first, and now it's time to put myself first. The Bible doesn't teach that. In fact, it warns against it. In Philippians, it says, don't be jealous or proud, but be humble and consider others more important than yourselves. Care about them as much as you care about yourselves. It doesn't not put your needs ahead of other needs. In fact, a self-love that elevates our needs, our desires, our hopes over God and others is just spiritually wrong, scripturally wrong. Another one, loving myself is also not focusing on my interests. Because I don't know where your focus is currently, but it can't be at two places at once. You're either focused on yourself. Focus requires your whole attention. It requires your dedication. You can't be focused on yourself and God and others. You can't be focused on what you want and then what God wants in your life. 1 Corinthians, Paul says, none of you should be looking out for your own interest, but for the interest of others. See, here's the thing. Our sinful nature, it's focused on ourselves. That's what gets us into the problem. That's the problem with our sinful nature, is it's focused on us. What benefits us? What we want? And that's not the love that we're supposed to emulate in our lives. Another one is loving myself is also not choosing to accept my faults. I'm not saying that we're supposed to beat ourselves up over our faults. That's not what I'm saying at all. But a lot of people believe that loving themselves is accepting themselves just as they are, excusing themselves for the way that they are, for their current condition. In fact, some people believe that loving yourself is believing that I'm okay and you're okay. We would love for that to be true. See, some people look at them and we say, hey, you know what? God made me just the way that I am, and God understands me, and so I can disregard anything else that's going on in my life that really, you know, I can accept myself for how I am because this might be how God made me, or this is, God loves me. And that's true, God does love you. But we overlook something that's really important when we buy into that kind of theology or that kind of mindset, and that is we were all born into a sinful condition. The sinful condition is the problem. See, our nature is to sin and to blame others. Our sinful condition can't be accepted. It has to be surrendered. And not just surrendered, we have to acknowledge the condition of our lives. We can't just say, hey, I'm okay, because the truth is we have to surrender and acknowledge it. In fact, in 1 John it says, if we claim that we've not sinned, we make God out to be a liar and his word's not in us. But the truth is that we all have sinned. Another one in Hebrews, it says, if we decide to go on sinning after we've learned the truth in our lives, or learned the truth about sin, and we go on we can go on sinning because that's just who we are. He says there's no longer any sacrifice for sins. If our condition is okay, then the truth is there's absolutely no reason for Jesus to die on the cross. And if I'm okay, then there's no reason for the Holy Spirit to live inside of me to bring change and want to bring change, and that's his agenda, to bring change. See, if we want healthy relationships, we need to learn what it means to love ourselves. We can't, it's not enough to say, hey, this is what the world thinks, and maybe that's what I'm supposed to do. That's not the life that God calls us to. There's this Christian psychologist, sociologist as well. His name is Les Parrott, and he teaches college courses, and plus he has a practice and everything. But he teaches college courses on psychology and on relationships. And that he has all of his students write down. And he says this about this sentence. He says that this single sentence has the potential to revolutionize every relationship you ever build. I want you to think about that. This one single sentence has the ability to revolutionize every relationship that you ever build, from roommates to teammates, potential soulmates, your parents, your siblings, people at work, friends. Every relationship, this one sentence can revolutionize it. So I wrote it down for you so you wouldn't have to remember it. I'd like you to think about it even this week. But here's what the sentence is. If you try to build intimacy with another person before you have first gotten whole yourself, all of your relationships become an attempt to complete yourself. I want to read it again because I think it's that important. If you or if we try to build intimacy with other people before we have first gotten whole ourselves, then all of the relationships, all of our relationships become an attempt to complete ourselves. And why does that sentence, why is it so important? Because relationships are only as healthy as we are. Your relationships are only going to be as healthy as you are. So one of the most important things that we can do to build healthy relationships in our life is to work on our own personal well-being and to focus on our emotional and our spiritual and our relational health and how important that is, because it affects every relationship that we have. A lot of people, what they do is they look for relationships with someone that will complete them. In fact, you hear that quite often. People that love each other, they talk about this desire for somebody to complete them. And maybe you're aware of where I'm going with this, with the whole movie of Jerry Maguire and Tom Cruise, and you know the scene. You probably have watched the movie, you've seen it, but Tom Cruise and his wife, they're not having the best of marriage, and it's a little bit rocky. And while he comes home early from a trip, and he finds his wife amongst a bunch of women in their homes in a support group, and he's looking for his wife, and he finds her, and he starts talking to her about how much he loves her, and then he looks at her and he says, "You complete me." And every woman in the theater melts. Every woman in that place is like, that is what I'm looking for, is a man who, or somebody that will look at me and say, "You complete me." See, it comes across as this great expression of love. That somebody else would actually acknowledge that they complete them. But here's the problem with that. No one is designed to complete you. No one is designed to complete you. We can't rely on someone else. The truth is, self-worth doesn't come from the presence of someone else in our lives. In fact, if I don't know if this is even a fill-in on your notes, but man, if it's not, this is just a great statement that when you come into a relationship lacking personal self-worth, all you have to offer is neediness. When you come into a relationship absence of self-worth, in other words, you don't care about yourself, you don't love yourself as you should, all you have to offer is neediness. You want somebody else to complete you, to fill the void in your life. Our desire for completion is met in relationship with God, not people. And it's the Holy Spirit, as our verse here in just a little bit indicates, that empowers us to grow strong. And the more that we lean into the Holy Spirit for completion, the healthier we become, and so the healthier our relationships become. But Ephesians says it this way. It says, Paul says, "I pray that from God's glorious unlimited resources, that God will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit." That you'll have this inner strength. You won't need other people for strength. You'll have this inner strength through his Spirit. And then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. And your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And you may have the power to understand, as all God's people should, just how wide and how long and how high and how deep God's love really is for you. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand. Then you will be complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. See, we're never designed to be completed by somebody else. We were designed to be completed by God. And if you want to be completed, we need to stop looking to others. Here's the truth. The cause of our emptiness is not a case of a missing person in our lives, but it's the incompletion that's in our soul. It's a lack of connection with God. So when we make this promise of what it means to become healthy and to learn to love ourselves so that we can have better relationships with our spouse, our future spouse, our friends, family, whoever it is, this promise that we make to love ourselves, what does that look like? And the promise that we make in loving ourselves is this. First of all, I promise to pursue my profound significance. If you are going to make this promise of loving yourself, then it's about discovering and pursuing your profound significance. Learning to love yourself begins with understanding just how much God loves you. Learning to connect and being able to connect with God's profound love for you. And if I could just read a part of that scripture again, it says, Paul says, may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide and how long and how high and how deep his love for you actually is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. We have to pursue the profound significance God has placed in our lives so that we understand our worth. Your worth is wrapped up not in, you can't just say, hey, I'm valuable. You have to understand why you're valuable. Your Creator has established a value on you already. Your value is already established, but we have to discover that value. If you want a healthy relationship, if you want a healthy marriage, we have to let the one who designed us define us. The one who designed us has to define us. If God's love doesn't define us, then we will seek the love of others to give us worth. This is also important in loving others, because here's what happens when we accept God's profound love for us and we discover how significant we are. Something else happens. We start treating people different because we recognize that God has a profound significance for other people's lives too. That God looks at others and he loves them as much as he loves us. And so we treat other people different because we recognize they have a divine, profound significance that we have never tapped into. The promise we make in loving ourselves is also, I promise to keep God's purpose for my life. I promise to accept God's purpose for my life. Because here's the thing, God has created you with unique gifts and talents to do what he's created you to do. He's given you a heart for people that other people do not have. God created you with a unique purpose. And in that purpose, God has chosen a path for you to walk, a way that he wants to use you. And when we don't value ourselves, what happens is we start seeking the path of others. We stop looking at what God planned for us, and we start looking to what other people are doing, because maybe, you know what, their life's going pretty good. Maybe I could do what they're doing, and people will treat me like they treat them. Or maybe I'll be as happy as they are because I'm going down this same path. When we are disconnected from God's path for our lives, we start choosing the path of other people. It doesn't work. We have this longing to belong, and we miss God's purpose. Ephesians 4:1 says this, if you want to get out there and walk, he says, I want you to get out there and walk, but better yet, not walk, I want you to run on the road that God has called you to travel. God called you to travel this road. Get out there and run that road. He says, I don't want any of you sitting around on your hands. I don't want anyone strolling off down some path that leads nowhere, because what happens is when we seek another path, it's never going to take us where God is leading us to go. Loving ourselves means accepting the purpose that God has created us for. and getting our identity and our purpose from Him rather than others. The last one is when we make a promise to love ourselves, we're saying, I promise to live from God's love and not for the love of others. I promise to live from God's love, not for the love of others. There's a big difference. When we become in touch with how much God loves us, we become free to look at the needs of others. Not just look at the needs of others, but we all of a sudden start caring for the needs of other people. We go on and read Ephesians 4, 2 and 3. It says, and mark this, and mark that you do this with humility and discipline, not in fits and starts, but steadily pouring yourselves out for each other in acts of love, alert at noticing differences and quick at mending fences. In fact, what happens when we start understanding God's love for us, when we accept His purpose and we allow the one who designed us to define us, we start having healthy relationships. We're no longer self-absorbed. We're not concerned with how we're doing. You know how, like, when you're insecure, you're always worried about how you're doing. What do people think about me? Insecurity just kind of breeds that. You're always looking at, I wonder what are other people saying about me? How do other people, am I doing okay? You walk into a room where there's people you don't know. Am I okay? Do I fit here? But at some point, when you begin to understand God's love for you, we no longer evaluate ourselves, but now we walk into a place and we say, you know what? How are they doing? How are you doing? It's no longer about how we're doing, because we're functioning from God's love. Now we can actually look at others and say, in a very sincere and authentic way, how are you doing? What can I do to help you? How can I care for your needs? No longer am I looking for my own issues. Now I can care about others. There's a great scripture. Before I get in that scripture, when we promise to love ourselves, what we're really saying is we're making a promise to love others. And that's a great thing. That is a healthy way to begin, to provide the care that other people need. And the scripture I want us to look at is important because it shows us how living from God's love affects our relationships with other people. Paul's talking actually to husbands and how they're supposed to love their wives. But it's not just about husbands loving their wives. It's about how we are supposed to love other people and what love really looks like. And so I want you to hear this because, man, this is exactly the point that's being made. He says, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. How do you love yourself? And then he says, no one hates his own body, but feeds it and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church. We're able to have healthy relationships when we seek the well-being of others. God's created us for relationships, and He wants our relationships to be healthy. But our relationships are only going to be as healthy as we are. We are the common denominator in these relationships. Promising to love ourselves frees us to love others the way we have been loved. And I just want to encourage you today to love yourself and to accept God's love for you. That you would pursue that, not just as an idea, but that you would actually start contemplating how much God really does love you. That you would begin to be in awe of God's love for you. That you would recognize that you are profoundly significant. Not just unique, but profoundly significant. And it's out of that significance that we start loving others who are profoundly significant as well. That we're able to live from God's love and not for the love of other people. That we accept His purpose for our lives. and that we allow God to make us complete. If you're here today and maybe you've never begun a relationship with Jesus, you've never come and made God the center of your life, this is the day to do it, this is the opportunity to do it, you never will be able to really come and experience how significant God's love is until you surrender yourself to Him. And you might think, you know what? I've done way too many things that are bad, too many things that have messed that up. There's no way that God can. And that speaks just how much God does love you, because there's nothing that you have ever done. There's nothing you could ever do that would cause God to love you less than what He loves you right now. Father, we come to You today. You know our hearts and You know our lives. You know our longing to belong, our desire for relationships. You know those desires that we have for people to fill the void and for people to complete us. And I ask today that You would help us to turn our love and our affection towards You. That, Father, we would look to You to complete us, that we would rely and lean into Your Holy Spirit as Your Spirit works in our lives to complete us and make us all that You want us to be, to experience the fullness of life that You've created us for. Father, You know each one of us intimately. May we discover our profound significance. Father, may we live from Your love and not live to try to impress people. Father, I pray that it's out of that that You would allow us to have healthy relationships and learn that our love towards others looks to provide and looks to care for their needs. Father, may You just give each person that's here today profound significance in their lives. And may we live from Your design and Your definition and Your identity for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.